If it's good, we'll tell you. If it's rubbish, we'll tell you. This is Radio Yorkshire, the only place for honest opinions on the greatest game.
Indeed it is, as we go into extra time here on Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. Full-time scores then this afternoon in Super League. In our commentary again, we'll be heading back there shortly. It was Salford Red Devils 36, Huddersfield Giants 20. In the other game in Super League this afternoon, victory for Wigan Warriors, their first win in years, 28-12 over the Widnes Vikings. In the Championship, still waiting confirmation, but Tewsbury are going to win. They're 44 up over Rochdale. Featherton 42, Batley 14, Halifax 20, Bradford 18, Hull Kingston Rovers 40, London Broncos 22, Oldham 14, Toulouse 12, and Sheffield 42, Swinton 34. Not a good day for Bradford at the bottom end of the table. Whether that matters or not, we'll find out. In League One, Toronto 64, York 22, Hemel 25, South Wales 18, first win of the season for Hemel. Half time at Oxford, they kicked off late because North Wales' Crusaders bus broke down, but they lead 24-6. Coming towards the closing stage at Doncaster, they trail Newcastle 20 points to 10. Hunslet 56, Coventry 24, Whitehaven 28, Keighley 22, and Workington 46. London Scholars 16, the full-time scores as we have them. Get in touch on Twitter, at RL on RY, if you've got any questions for Gary Schofield, who is at the AJ Bell Stadium. Gary!
Yeah, he's here. When he talks to you, you're supposed to answer him. You're doing our radio work, don't you, legend?
Yes, I'm here, Richard.
I didn't know if you were there or Mark's there. Just to react on that game now, then. As disappointed as Huddersfield will be, I guess that shows you how good Salford can be, and shows they're over their blip, I guess, of those three straight defeats in the league.
Yeah, they are indeed, Richard. I'd say, and you know, after certainly last week against St Helens, because where they were in total control and they just absolutely blew it with 7 minutes to go. And Watson wanted the reaction today, and well, for the first 20 minutes, you'd say he wasn't getting the reaction or the performance what he wanted, because the Giants were in control and they took the lead from there. And it just seemed as though that they were off it a little bit, Salford. But once he turned the tap on, and I say for the last hour, they were absolutely outstanding and fully deserved the victory from here. But they just play the game in the right way, and the organisation as well from Robert Louis and I say Michael Dobson, and the combination, and I say with the forwards, a big Murdoch Masala just causes problems all the time. And for the last hour, it was all about Salford, and fully deserved the 2 points.
And second in the table now, level with Leeds, who of course they meet here live on Radio Yorkshire next Sunday, and that should be a cracker as well, and a big test for the Rhinos.
Oh, it is a big test, and as I mentioned in commentary as well, Salford won't forget what happened at Edley Wheeler, you know, and it should have been a draw, but they got the forward pass where literally which won the game for Leeds from there. So it'd be revenge time, I would imagine, talk at training all this week for the Salford players, and it will be very hard for the Rhinos to get the 2 points here.
Just on the Huddersfield, obviously a disappointment for them this afternoon, but they've got a big game as well. Every game seems to be big at the moment. They've got to Widnes at home on Friday night. They're only 2 points clear of the Catalan Dragons at the moment, so they'll certainly be looking at that game as a very winnable one, even though Widnes obviously ran Wigan close for much of the game today.
Yeah, I mean, just reading some of the comments on social media, like Wigan have been particularly great today. I saw that they're finding their form. I know Bilko, who's probably our Wigan correspondent, said probably if they'd have been playing anyone else other than Widnes today, they probably would have got beat. So, you know, Widnes have pushed Wigan close, but still couldn't get over the top of them. It is a big game, but you wonder when Widnes have got to start looking towards the middle eights and really getting, you know, their hopes now are over of making the Super Eight, so they've got to start concentrating on the job at hand. And Huddersfield, I think, will really look as though, you know, if they play like they did in patches today, they'll have enough to beat Widnes and get one step nearer that to Super Eight's place.
Did they miss Ikehifo too much?
I think they lost a bit of go forward, didn't
they?
Yeah,
they did, yeah. So, you know, for Ikefifo himself, he gets some good field position, doesn't he? And to say that the hard yards from them, and also defensively as well, he may have, took a little bit out of Murdoch Masala as well. But, hey, but listen, you know, to say Salford for the last hour, very impressive. And they scored some spectacular tries as well, and won certainly from Chris Whelan, but set by the big man himself. And they're just a pleasure to watch, and to play the game in the right way.
So Salford second, Huddersfield, as we mentioned, eighth in the table. Just confirm that result from the Championship. Now it is over, and Dewsbury have beaten Rochdale by 40 points to 10. Late try late on for the Hornets. But that result sees Dewsbury 3 wins in a row now, up to 8th in the table. Bradford still bottom on 0, Swinton on 10 after their loss at Sheffield. And Oldham with their win today over Toulouse, who in a bit of bother now, Toulouse. We'll talk about the Championship in a moment. They're on to 11 points. So that's the way the bottom of the Championship looks at the moment. Just back to Super League. Obviously, Leeds travelling to Salford next week. A victory over St Helens on Thursday. What did you make of that one?
Well, I've got to be honest. I thought, truth be told, it was a bit of Joe Moon brilliance that won the game for Leeds. I thought he was probably the standout attacking player. I thought Jordan Lilly played well second half. But I think, you know, but for some indiscipline from John Wilkin and that crusher tackle that saw him sent rightly to the sin bin, I think without that, I think St Helens probably would have won the game. So I thought Leeds were a little bit fortunate, but right when it mattered, Joe Moon pulled the goods out for his side, and that was a big, big win because St Helens would have been within touching distance. So they'll come here, Leeds. I always think defensively it keeps them in the game. If they can just get that little bit of attacking spark, that cohesion that they seem to have been lacking. But the problem is, Scott, they've been lacking it for 18 months now. This is not just something that's happened. This is not a bit of form. This is just how they play, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And then I say, you call it just right there, Mark, from a point. Yeah, it was individual brilliance from Joel Moon. And he's not only creating the tries, I think he's scored 18 tries as well, you know. So, yeah, he is doing the business from there. But they just can't rely on him too much. And he's not a halfback where he's going to dominate and get you around the field. Certainly, like when you look at Robert Louis or a Michael Dobson here, or look at Luke Gale there. So, yeah, it is a bit of a problem, certainly, from a creativity point of view. And yeah, you mentioned it as well, it wasn't, I felt, as though the best quality of game, but listen, Leeds will just take the 2 points. They're pretty happy that they're in the top four here now, but it will be a big challenge coming here next week at Salford.
Is Joel Moon a long-term solution at six?
I wouldn't have thought so, and I don't think I think McDermott as well has said that you know, he's not going to be the answer to the number six situation. Obviously, it all depends on what's going to happen, where Richie Miler's going to play, and also too with the Danny Maguire situation. So, no, I don't think Joe Moon is going to be the answer where Leeds need, because they need an organising halfback. Yeah, they've got support players from there. We know Robbie Burrow, if he's going to stay, you know, he'll be coming off the bench, I guess, more often as an impact player, and he supports, so does Danny and Miler. But they need somebody who can organise. And, well, Jordan Lilly, did he do enough to maybe convince Matt Dermott that he's ready for the start week in and week out? So it's a bit of a dilemma for Leeds, because, as I say, with Miler coming, if they keep Maguire, if they keep Burrow, they keep Lilly and they keep Moon, they've got five halfbacks to pick from, but one of them, or all of them, to be honest with you, are not the halfback who's going to organise them and get them around the field. So they're missing that link for the guy who can take them around the field.
You obviously made the move from centre to standoff in your career, but do you think Joel Moon perhaps is still got a job to do in his old position rather than where he is now? He can make more of an impact on Leeds in his old position.
Well, the question will be, it's like with people say to me, you know, where do you prefer playing, centre or standoff? Well, in the end, it was standoff. It was a no-brainer, to be honest. And I say because of the way I got my organisation and, you know, from a point of view, looking to organise a game and get my team around it by watching players who I played with and played against, i.e. when you look at the likes of a Wally Lewis and a Brett Kenny and a Peter Sterling and I say playing with the likes of Andy Gregory from there, and that's in David Topless, the late great David. That's where I learned mine from. And for mine, yeah, Joe Mooney's a better centre than what he's a stand-up, because I don't think he's got that in his game where he could get a team around the park from there. You've got to have that vision and awareness and also to that patience. And if you look at the way that Luke Gale now, he plots himself around the field, and that's what I keep saying about with quality halfbacks, you don't need to be involved all the time. And they say, and when you're ready to come into it, you've seen it again at times here with Michael Dobson and Robert Lewis, they're plotting their way around the field, telling them and getting the team and getting the forwards from where they want to be. And I just don't see that sort of communication in Joe Moon's play.
I'd put it on the other foot and have a look at probably two of the best centres in our competition are Joe Moon and Callum Watkins. Mm. And yet, how often do you come away thinking, wow, they've had a great game in the centre, they've done this, they've done that.
They're not getting any service.
You put those two in this Salford team or down the jungle at Castle.
20 tries a season.
They would be scoring bucket loads
there's
of 20, tries.
There's 20
They'd
tries.
Be creating bucket loads of tries, and that's Leeds' big problem. They don't get the ball enough to the people, the talent that they've got in that centre position, and that is the problem that Leeds have got, because if you start giving them the ball nice and early, then we talk about that attacking threat. It doubles instantly, because Leeds, Watkins is an outstanding player. Moon is an outstanding talent. He's shown that by the fact that you said he's got all those tries already. But for me, I always feel a bit short-changed by Watkins and by Moon when they're playing in the centre, because I don't feel they get the ball enough.
Well, exactly right, they don't. And as I say, Leeds need that organising outback. And again, he got dropped yesterday from the Warrington side. And I say, I would go sign Declan Patton. Simple
I'll
as that.
I'll tell you what, the way he's played, you want to be signing Liam Finn down at the Headingley. He's the player that'll get him around the pitch. Right? You can look at me like that. You put him in, they'd be a better team than they are now, I'll tell you that.
Declan Patton for me. Declan Patton.
There you go.
How many clubs in Super League do you think would want to sign Danny Maguire if he came up on the market at the end of the season?
We were talking about this on the way over, weren't
we?
It's an interesting one, because he's going to...
Well, he won't go to Lancashire, so he won't do the travelling, so...
He might do if the money's there, Scully. He might do if the big offer comes in.
Maybe so. I'd be very surprised. So I guess would even the Giants here look at him? You know, they don't seem to have a settled number six, do they? You know, Wakefield maybe, Cass won't there. Hull, would they? Would they maybe from there? So I tell you what, he's got a big dilemma, Danny, because, you know, we know he's been at Leeds, what, since he's been 14, and, you know, the surroundings and there, and is anything going to be offered from a point of view, joining the coaching staff, or is he going to look at going to the marketing the club or what have you? But at the end of the day, we all say it as ex-players, you know, once you retire from playing, well, that's it, finished. So, but I reckon there's still two seasons
left. I think there's been a change in his mindset. When we spoke to him on Radio Yorkshire at the start of the year, I think he was thinking, yeah, this is it, I'm going to go once more. But I've noticed that I think he wants to play on. I think his body's probably lasted better than he hoped it would this season. And I would also say, I think if you're looking at the other side of the Pennines, I think the only club realistically that he might entertain, and a club that would pay him the big money, could be Warrington. I think that's where he might... That's the only club I can see him going to if he leaves Leeds.
Same colours as well, to be honest.
Well, there you go.
Almost. How was the ambassador for Rugby League, Johnny Lomax? So I think people took our discussion on Monday the wrong way. We weren't saying Johnny Lomax is a bad player or anything, just... you know, compared to some of the players in his position. And if, as people are speculating, that he got a contract because rugby union clubs might have been sniffing after him.
Rubbish.
He's not the be-all and end-all.
Rubbish. That is rubbish. Rugby union clubs are nowhere near even mentioning Johnny Lomax. But I'd say, listen, no, we're not saying Johnny Lomax is a bad rugby league player. Johnny Lomax is a good rugby league player. But what we're saying is this ambassador role, and we're saying it from a point of view where, you know, from the ambassador role from England's point of view, he's not good enough to play for England. He wouldn't get in the squad of 24. That's our opinion. And it's the opinion of many, many people as well. And the rubbish that he was going to be touted by rugby union clubs, absolute load of tosh. And
I'd say his agent has pulled a master stroke.
Well, I'm going to say, if I was an agent or a player of anyone, I'd be saying, oh yeah, rugby union want him. Oh yeah.
Yeah,
can have 25 grand.
Well, we listened. We keep our ears to the ground and ears here, there, everywhere to find out what's going. But have you heard, Mark? Have you heard that any rugby union clubs are chasing Johnny Lomax? I haven't. And where would he play there anyway?
No,
he's half at times suddenly going upfield in rugby league, to be honest with you. But no, we're not saying Johnny Lomax is not a good rugby league player. On his day, he is a good rugby league player. Does he deserve a central contract? No, he doesn't.
Would ask yourself, boot on the other foot, would it have been a major loss to rugby league if Johnny Lomax had gone to play in the Aviva Premiership? My answer is not particularly.
Well, no, I'll tell you what, if he had go play rugby union, he'd be back in our game in 12 months.
Yeah, well, he'd be a lot richer for doing it, so fair play if that's what he wants to do.
Yeah, especially if you've got an England call-up. Saints' next game is at home. They take on Hull on Friday. Hull below par. Would that be fair to say on Friday at Castleford?
Castleford, you know, they played all right and stuffed him out. But, well, Radders will tell you, I was delighted to do Leeds interview with the press after, and by saying, yeah, for 65 minutes they were clueless. And, you know, he said, well, Castleford's defence, it didn't really have to do a lot because there wasn't anything coming from Albert Kelly and Mark Sneed. But then once Mark Sneed and Albert Kelly decided to get involved, we all know what happened. And if they had been about another, 3 minutes, 4 minutes to go, then Hull would have won that game because Sneed and Kelly decided to get the centres and the wingers involved, and by the creativity point of view. So for 65 minutes, Hull were very ordinary. They were clueless. Again, coming line from Sneed and I say Kelly. Radders, from a point of view, with the way Castleford attack, he'd have been disappointed because Castleford scored opportunist tries. Shocking pass from Sneed. The ball wasn't taken by Talanoa. And I say that tip over the top from Jamie Shaw by that great try from Zach Hardacre. I'll get it out. You thought I've had a few sherbets. I've not even had any for my birthday yet, Mark Wilson. But Zach Hardacre, you know, going to 70 metres. So I don't think Radders would be too disappointed with losing the 2 points. I guess at times that, when they decided to play, they asked Castleford plenty of questions.
I guess Darryl Powell afterwards said it didn't feel like a win straight afterwards. I'm sure it will do now. Well, it's 2 points on the board and 8 points good at the top of the table. But Cass weren't at their best either. It was a strange game, wasn't it, on Friday night?
Yeah, it was. But I thought physically up front, I thought Castleford answered a lot of questions. A lot of people were saying that Hull had got over the top of them in the forwards and that's why Castleford couldn't compete with them. Well, I think they showed that. I think Castleford, every player that we spoke to and we heard from on Radio Yorkshire said probably put the cue on the rack a little bit too early. I went a bit conservative too early. I don't think they'll make that mistake again. I think it's a fine balance. Darryl's been critical of them overplaying in the wrong areas of the field. I think they had enough ball in the right areas of the field where they should and should have scored more points on Friday night. But crucial, that's a big 2 points. Don't underestimate that. They're going to meet again in the eights. And now Castleford, everyone would have been talking, oh, they can't beat Hull. Well, we all know now they can beat Hull. And if they have to go there and win or they come to the jungle, then we'll be expecting a cracking game. And, it will come. I think personally, I think Gary said earlier on, Castleford 1, Hull 2. I think that's probably how it will end up. And I wouldn't have any problems if that was the grand final.
Yeah, also as well, Mark, I think the way Castleford played in that last 25 minutes, it was like, well, we're going to play semi-final football here. And as you mentioned there, they played too conservative. And one thing for sure, it just didn't suit Castleford whatsoever.
Well, they did it at Leeds a week before, but Leeds didn't have enough to get at them, whereas Hull started
Hull had that, you know. So we're asking questions and Castleford could get out of it, you know, by playing that conservative semi-final football. We're boring football, which, as we all know, Castleford don't play that style of way. So I can guarantee you won't be seeing that again from Castleford for the rest of the season because it just doesn't suit them.
It all links nicely to this, but I'll come on to Castleford's next opponents in a moment. But Zach Hardacre, he seems to be in his happy place at the moment. And as we know, with players of Zach Hardacre's ilk and there are other players like him in Super League, they need to be in that happy place because when they are, they can be the best sometimes in the world that Zach Hardacre has been. Obviously, he was Man of Steel in this hemisphere a couple of years ago, and he's another one who, not necessarily saying he will win it again this year, but he certainly be up with the contenders and must be first on the team sheet for England in the World Cup, surely.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I asked Gary on Friday night, is Zach Hardacre becoming a better player than he was in 2015? I think he's added more to his game. I agree with you. I think he's in a good place at the moment. They love him down at Castleford. He's loving playing. There's a bit more freedom. I think he's been asked more questions by Darryl Powell. You want to see a little bit more from him. But we've seen with the tries he's scored in recent weeks, Scoy, there's never been any doubting about Zach Hardacre on the rugby field. But he is playing well. I think he's getting better.
He is, and he's got that smile back on his face, hasn't he? And he's getting back to that form, what we all know in 2015 by, you know, winning everything from an individual point of view. But he's back to his England best. And I say he's got the smile on his face. He's enjoying the responsibility, what Darryl's giving for him later. And also, too, when Darryl's asking him the question for a little bit more improvement, then he's getting the right answers from Zach. He's in the right place where he wants to be. And as I say, when you've got somebody who's in the right place and a quality player like Hardacre is, then the signs are very good for Castleford.
I've just been distracted by a couple of tweets. I'll come to one of them first, because it's regarding St Helens, who we spoke about a moment ago. Dean says, regarding players moving to rugby union, what about John Wilkin? I mean, he can kick the ball. Lol, he says. bit harsh there. People think we're picking on St Helens. We're picking on Leeds.
Rich,
that's who we're picking on.
Right, Rich. Right. Do you know, when we go on about John Wilkin now, right?
Yeah.
Are people realistically, do they think we are stupid by saying about John Wilkin has got the worst kicking game?
I don't know, the
worst I've ever seen, because let's have a look at this. When you look at past forwards who have had a great kicking game. Right, I'll go back. You look at Lee Crooks, and then you can look at Andy Farrell, then you can look at Paul Scunthorpe. He's nowhere near. Well, even with ball in hand, as good a player. But John Wilkie is a good forward when he's going hard and straight and direct, running opposition centres. But do people, honestly, are they being sarcastic with us? But is that what they are, being sarcastic?
Because yeah, they agree with you.
I'll tell you, and I'll keep saying it until he stops kicking that bloody ball, to be honest with you, Richie, right? You know, he has got the worst kicking game I have ever seen from a forward. I have ever seen. And stop kicking the ball, John. Stop kicking the ball because, hey, listen, you know when he kicked that ball second time on Friday night, right? That cost his team a try. After three play, the balls have got a penalty. Good field position, then they scored in that try set of six. And he's allowed to get away with it. I just don't understand it. Just do not understand it.
That's Dean's tweet answered. Castle would, of course, travel to Wakefield on Thursday. Wakefield winners over Warrington yesterday. Stephen Zester, who impressed you for Wakefield last night? He thought Carl Wood and Bill Tupu did well for Trinity last night. But I think that it'd be fair to say, Scott, it was a great, hard-working team effort that beat a poor, underperforming Warrington side.
Yeah, it was. It was a pathetic Warrington side, to be honest with you. But, yeah, Wakefield again. And I say, overall, I guess Chester won't be happy with their performance overall, to be honest with you. But, again, when they did turn the tap on, they just had far too many answers for, as I say, that pathetic Warrington side from there. Yeah, Finney got them around the field. Carl Wood again. Yeah, Tupu from there. But also as well, I thought Bishop and Caton Brown, you know, making the good yards and taking a lot of pressure off the forwards from there. And Scott Gritz does what he does best from there. So a workmanlike performance. I want to say Chester, maybe no more than a 7 from a team performance. But hey, listen, at the end of the day, wanted a reaction from the last 20 minutes against Hull the week before. Wanted a reaction, got the reaction, got the 2 points, and keeps them knocking on the door of the top four. And that's all you can ask for. And but boy, oh boy, how pathetic are Warrington.
Just on Mason Caton Brown, he looks like, obviously we know about him going forward, his speed and so on and so forth, but it looks like as well he's getting much better defensively as well.
Oh, he is, yeah. But also as well, to be honest with you, I'm not too worried about how good or bad they are defenders. Wingers, if they run at you, then they'll tackle them. So I'm not really too bothered defensive point of view. Nowadays, when you look at the way the modern game is, he gets in at dummy half, he scoots well, makes good yard, the same as Jones Bishop. And if you give him the opportunity, you give him half an opportunity, he's got the speed, he'll put the burners down and he'll score your tries. And that's exactly what you want from your wingers.
And to say he came into the side after Tom Johnson's injury, and according to Michael Carter's programme, that's what it might have been, Chris Chester's, he'll be back for pre-season, so it'll be a fresh Tom Johnson in 2018.
But like a new signing, won't it?
Yeah. He's coming to the side and done well, to say so. You know, coming late in the season, in a sense.
Well, again, it's what coaches want. They want competition for places. And say we see it here at Salford. Again, we mentioned it at Cass, and they've got it at Wakefield. And, you know, the players are knocking on the door, and they'll be saying to Chester, I want an opportunity. And Chester's saying, well, say with Powell and say maybe Watson. Well, unfortunately, the players are playing well enough to keep the places, but if they do get their place, whether it's an injury or a suspension, then they know they've got the quality of the squad that comes in there, does the good job, and that's why they're in the league positions where they are. The league table doesn't tell lies, Richie. The league tables doesn't tell lies, and the squad's what they've got. They've got well-balanced squads where, from a point of view, you know, when you look at them three sides, right, look at the halfbacks, Gale and Roberts. Salford in Louis and Dobson. And you look at Wakefield in Finn and Miller and Williams. There you go. Good forwards who make the hard yards and halfbacks who can create with that vision and awareness, and the league table to tell lies. And I couldn't care less if people keep saying about it. Stop banging on about halfbacks. If you've got quality halfbacks, I'll tell you what, you won't be far off winning trophies.
What do you make of Sam Williams?
The same sort of players, aren't they, him and Finney? You know, Finney seems a little bit more comfortable when he's got Mill at the side of him. And also, too, Matty Asher, as me and Matt were discussing it coming over here, Matty Asher, he seems to prefer as well when Miller's playing there, because, as I say, that sort of combination, what they have, certainly on the left-hand side, where it's having a short ball or a ball behind the back from there. So, but, yeah, the best combination for Wakefield, and I'm sure everybody agrees, certainly from a Wakefield point of view, is that, yeah, it is Miller and Finn, but Williams does him a job. But unfortunately, him and Finney, they're the same sort of players, the same style of players, because of no pace, have they? And they know that themselves. But apart from that, getting the team around the field, they both do a good job.
Dean says he doesn't understand why Warrington have 6 players in the England squad, whereas Wakefield have none. I mean, I guess Wakefield have a lot of players from different nationalities in this squad, but the obvious example is the play you've just mentioned there, and I know we are blessed with back row forwards, but Matty Ashurst wouldn't do a bad job in England squad, would he?
No, he wouldn't. No, he would do an excellent job. He'd do the job what he was asked to do, and he'd certainly give 100%, wouldn't he? So, yeah, he wouldn't look out of place in England jersey.
I mean, what is going on with Warrington at the moment? They've gone from Grand finalists, Challenge Cup finalists and League Leaders' Shield winners to struggling to make the top eight this year. And we can understand last year with Leeds they were losing key players and whatever, but Warrington don't have that same excuse, do they?
Well, listen, I've ripped in my column with these Warrington players because they are a disgrace to that Warrington shirt. What I saw yesterday now, they are a disgrace to that Warrington shirt, and quite clearly, they don't want to play for Tony Smith, right? And we'll be for sure here. I am not blaming Tony Smith. I am not blaming Richie Agar. I am not blaming Lee Breers. It's not the coach's fault when the players, quite simply, are a disgrace to that Warrington jersey. And do you know what? Some of them players are coming out of contract. And okay, at this moment in time, they may not have been told where the future holds, but they're sulking and they don't want to play, right? So, but do you know what? If it was put to Tony Smith now and say, listen, Tony, these players, what do you think about them? He'd say, I'd get rid of them all tomorrow if I could, because they are a disgrace to that Warrington jersey. They're a disgrace to the Warrington supporters and certainly their chairman, Simon Moran. And it's quite simply, that dressing room has gone. They don't want to play for Tony Smith. But do you know what, Richie? I've been speaking to somebody here today. And I think also as well that the factor is for Tony Smith is simple, right? He's got a great relationship with Simon Moran. Tony Smith will not get the sack at Warrington. Tony Smith is in charge at Warrington and he knows exactly now what them players are about. They've no character and, as I say, they are an absolute disgrace to that Warrington jersey. And I'll tell you what, nobody will be intimidated by Warrington now they're going to be in that middle eights. And I'll tell you, who would have thought this? Who would have thought this at the start of the season, right? That Warrington could be in the £1 million game. I'll tell you what, mate, don't rule it out. Not rule it out.
It's not for me to say whether I think players are trying or not, but it certainly...
No, they're not.
Like,
Richie.
It looked like Wakefield's pack was more enthusiastic. Well, listen, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, listen, I'll tell you. No, they've given in. They're not trying. They're giving in. Simple as that. And if them Warrington players try and defend themselves, well, I'll tell you what, they're telling lies. They're telling lies and they're cheating that jersey and they're cheating that club. They are absolute disgrace for that Warrington club, they are. And I tell you, as I say, they're a great relationship, what Tony Smith has got with Simon Moran. It's not just a chairman-coach relationship, it's a mate relationship. And the respect what Simon Moran gives Tony Smith, which he fully, fully deserves, we all know exactly what he's done. But them players at Warrington at this moment in time don't deserve to be in that dressing room. I don't think I'm being harsh there. I'm being open and honest, and I'm sure the Warrington fans will agree.
If Dean's upset that there's no Wakefield players in, there's only one Hull player in. And they're, in the top three and semi-finals of the Cup.
Am I being a bit harsh there?
No, I don't think so. I'm with you. I think they're in big trouble. I think they are in big trouble. You've got teams that have been in that middle eights before that are going to be in there. They know what it's all about. Warrington don't know what it's all about. And you never know. I think they're seeing a bit of a weak link at the moment, and I don't think you can quite just turn it on. I think they need to start showing something sooner rather than later. Just a little bit of sad news actually coming out of Warrington this afternoon. They've put a statement on their website that their young Warrington supporter Josh Morris has passed away, aged just 11. He suffered from Duchenne muscular dystrophy. He was a keen supporter. He was due to be mascot on his 12th birthday on Friday for the game against Lee, and the club are going to celebrate Josh's life. I'm sure when you see that his picture, you'll have seen him with some of the players, and your thoughts with Josh's family and friends at this time. Terrible news that at age just 11, he's passed away this weekend. So sad news for everyone at Warrington.
Yeah, it's been a sad weekend, obviously, hasn't it, with the death of the player at the in the amateur game as well. So it's not been a great weekend away from the field, has it? But it's one of those things where we keep on keeping on, and hopefully on Friday when Warrington play Lee, there's a great response for that young lad, isn't there? And I'm sure there will be from both sides.
Yeah, I've no doubt about that, Rich. If there's one, we're all quick to put the boot in on rugby, but if there's one thing that they'll do well, they'll handle that occasion very, very well.
Dean's asked if Scurry thinks the Warrington players who don't want to play for England play for Warrington should play for England.
Sorry, repeat that, Rich.
Does Sky think the Warrington players who obviously don't want to play for Warrington, should they be playing for
right,
England as well?
So which Warrington has been picked? Has Kerry been picked?
Yeah, he's absolved of blame at the moment, isn't he?
He's out injured with a serious knee situation. I don't know why he's been selected anyway, to be honest with you. Ratchford, no, he doesn't deserve to be selected. Who else have we got?
Kevin Brown, Darrell Clark, Mike Cooper and Chris Hill.
Chris Hill, he's having the worst season that he's had in a Warrington jersey. Darrell Clark, question marks. Who else?
Who did I say? Mike Cooper and Kevin Brown.
Not a chance. No. So Darrell Clark, you would say, yeah, question mark, maybe, but the rest, no. Nowhere made. And again, you know, I was speaking to some Warrington fans as I was walking out the ground as well. They were very complimentary about my flat cap, to be honest with you. I can't really repeat on the air what they said, but one thing what they were saying is that the signing of Kevin Brown being an absolute huge mistake. Huge mistake.
Helicopters coming for the hat. Yesterday's other game, Catalans versus Lee, looked exciting from the highlights, but there's only one thing people are talking about from that game. How long a ban should Jamie Acton receive?
Well, I don't know if everyone's seen it. I've only just seen it on social media this afternoon when I got to the game here. There was a clash between a Lee and a Catalans player. Both were on the floor, and Acton came and basically grabbed the Catalan player who was down on the floor. He hadn't moved.
They were faking or something.
By his collar, lifted him up and chucked him back on the ground. For me, he's in big trouble, because if there's one thing we know, you've got a head or a neck injury, the message is you don't touch the person on the floor. He's no right to be doing that. And I think they'll throw the book at him. And I think if there's any justice in the game, they will throw the book at him. I think he could be going for a long time. Because and it's not for him to know what's gone on there. If anything would have happened there, you know, he's in big trouble. And, you know, you're possibly looking at legal acts, that kind of thing. That's how serious it is. Wow. For me, he's in big trouble. And I think the sport... You've seen it today. We had 4 head injury assessments in the opening 20 minutes. The sport are all over this, and they've got to make sure he's punished accordingly.
Yeah, but as I say, because we keep saying about, you know, some of these tackles were going, you know, with these crucial tackles, and well, we're not seeing the cannonball tackles, it seems to be anymore, and the chicken wing, we've seen a couple of them, and what we've certainly seen the pictures on the social media, Rich, to be honest with you, he deserves a book thrown at him, and now the RFL have got to say, right, this is not going to happen again, and well, you know what, for me, and what I've seen, and there was plenty, I tell you what, there was plenty intent and purpose away that he picked the Catalans players and all, he should get 12 months.
And just the thing is, you're obviously, you know, me and Mark speaking from the silence, but you're obviously a former player. If someone did that to you, someone did that to one of your teammates, that could all hell could break loose.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just going to say, you know, it could have caused, you know, a huge brawl. And then also as well, you know, the spectators as well, it could cause a lot of friction between there. So, you know, the actions of Jamie Acton from there, it's not in the spirit of the sport. And as we all know, that we've had injuries or neck injuries, as Mark Wilson explained from there. For mine, throw the book at him and give him 12 months.
Well, we were at Wakefield, obviously, yesterday, and Will Dagger, their young fullback, went down injured, stretchered off. Everyone very concerned about him. Warrington have released a statement on this as well, saying, thankfully, he's been discharged from hospital with no fractures of his neck. And he could be back on Friday, which shows you how tough these lads are. But
yeah, it is.
If, you know, God forbid, if he had got a neck injury and someone went up and did that.
Oh, yeah, agreed.
It's just ridiculous. And I don't see why anyone... Why does he need to do that in the first place?
Well, he doesn't. It's simple as that. But also as well, I'd say we've seen 4 here today, Richie, with the head injuries, right? And even now, spectators, because like back in my day and even years before that, right, if anybody went down with a bit of a knock to the head, and, you know, Speckies used to shout, get up, you softy, get up, there's nothing wrong with you. But now, because everybody knows the protocol of any head injuries or neck injuries with players, they know that it has to take time. It's going to be a 15-minute assessment, and even the spectators now are bought into the situation where there's any players with any sort of head injury or neck injury, and that's how serious now it is where the sport takes it. And what we have seen on social media, what happened yesterday with the Lee player and the Catalan player, quite clearly they were both looked knocked out, or they certainly wasn't going anywhere. And for Jamie Acton to do what it is, how can you defend that? You just cannot defend it. And as Mark Wilson said, and I've said here now, throw the book at him and give him 12 months. Simple as that.
So that'll be a 2-game ban or something then. On to the Championship quickly. 20 rounds into this as well. Bradford, narrowly beaten at Halifax this afternoon, 20 points to 18. Could have done with Jordan Lilly then, who Jeff Toovey's turned into the player he is today, apparently, in the 2 weeks he's been in charge from. That's what, judging from what Brian McDermott said anyway. Which, if we looked at those comments with more of a, you know, a serious eye on that, surely the sport has got to, at some point, say, we've been, you know, it's a joke, isn't it? And it has been a joke since day one. Everyone knows it's a joke, and we all have to pretend that it's okay for it to go on.
Well, it has been, yeah. But also, as well, we're back at saying, well, yeah, the hard work, what Jeff Toovey's done, and he's been in charge for 2 weeks. Well, I saw Jordan Lilly, what was it now? 18 months ago, and well, just short 2 years, when he played against the Kiwis in that friendly game, so-called, back in 2015, and I saw all the potential there with the organisation, and I say what he can bring to that lead side. And on Friday night, you saw parts of it, what he can bring there. So Lilly has got the talent. I guess the reason why he's not been playing for Leeds, it may be an attitude thing, or it may be something where in the dressing room where himself and Macca have fallen out, and Macca said, well, I'm going to teach you a lesson, you're going to go somewhere else. But as far as Jeff Toovey's done a great job with Jordan Lilly, it's been there for Jordan, and it's a situation here now where they decide where he goes. And if Leeds do need an organising half-back, and as I say, for mine, they should be signing somebody, if they're not going to persist with Lilly, then a Declan Patton. But they've got to stick with Lilly, and he has got that. He has got that ability in him. What Leeds are missing, and that is getting players around the park.
Big win, though, that for Halifax, because they're now level on points with Toulouse, who've lost their last three. This time away at an Oldham side who've been in poor form as well. So Halifax could get back into that top four again.
Yeah, they could. Toulouse, the wheels have come off, haven't they, there? Lost at home for the first time this season. Was it last week, week before? And all of a sudden they're in a little bit of trouble, aren't they? And you just wonder if Halifax might sneak into that top four. That would be a magnificent result if they could. There's still obviously a lot of twists and turns to come in that one. And crucially, you know, if Toulouse do get in that that top four at the expense of Halifax, then they met at the Bash, didn't they? Those two teams, and that'd be the result. So, you know, how unfair would that be, or is that a just deserved? I don't know. It's a funny one for me, that.
They meet each other next weekend.
Well, there you go.
Next
then.
Saturday
could
night,
be a winner takes all.
Kickoff could well be.
Could be a winner takes.
But again, no, Richard, in that championship, it's, you know, when we've been covering it, we say if you don't bring your A game, anybody could beat each other in that league, can't they?
Indeed, next weekend's fixtures for the top end: Bradford, Hull KR, London, Sheffield, and Oldham host Featherstone. So some big games again next weekend. Featherstone on 29 points after their victory today, so a point behind London. Hull KR still clear on 37. And League One, Toronto, they're going to break this record. They're going to score the most points in a season, which, if you weren't listening earlier, is 1,156.
Rich. No one's bothered.
Who cares?
No one's bothered.
Whitehaven are second. They've won again.
I tell you what, where does that come with Whitehaven? Yeah. You know, where does that come with them? You know, being second in the league now. You know, they weren't supposed to be any sort of contenders from there. But
of the top eight now are the Cumbrian sides.
Yeah, which is great to see. And certainly, you know, with Barrow, my great mate Paul Cleary's doing a great job there. But yeah, Whitehaven, how well are they playing from there? And where's that come from? Because, and I say, before, did the coach leave early in the season or something like that, and whatever, but one thing for sure. Oh, didn't they get two halfbacks from Rochdale or something as well? So they've got two quality halfbacks, I'm led to believe, from there. So there you go. Scully's right again. Halfbacks win your games.
And the team to watch in this division at the moment, as well as Whitehaven, as well as Barrow. Newcastle, yeah. Another win for them today away at Doncaster. And it's good. You know, we talk about Sheffield and expansion there and London and whatever, but Newcastle, another team who, going back to 1999 with Gateshead, completely screwed over by mergers, and you know, it's taken them so long to get back on their feet and back in a chance of competing, and hopefully, you know, they may be one side competing for a place in the championship next season. Of course, we still don't know what, you know, format we're going to have.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's a farcical thing, isn't it? But you have to say, from a Newcastle perspective, you know, we love going up there and watching a game up there. They've got good owners at their club. If they could get into the championship, might seem a long way off at the minute, but if they could, be interesting what kind of investment would come at Newcastle. You know, maybe given the right dual reg, etc., get the right loan signings in. You never know, and I think that would be good for the development of the game if we could get a Newcastle up into the Championship.
Well, I guess we'll wait and see what happens. Well, I'm sure we'll talk about more about that tomorrow, Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire from 6 o'clock. As ever, what's in the column tomorrow then, Scoring? When I pick up my League Express on the way into...
Oh, yeah, as I said, mainly ripping into them pathetic, disgraceful Warrington players, and just a little bit back, the Cass and Hull game, and also to Leeds and Leeds and St Helens from there. But if the Warrington players are listening, please get the League Express tomorrow. Have a look at it, and I tell you what, look at yourselves in the mirror, because you are a disgrace to that Warrington jersey. Look forward to tomorrow.